This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Finding Hope on the EWN Radio Network with Counselor Mandy Epley, where you will learn practical tools for navigating your losses and hear inspiring real-life stories from courageous people who have moved through their losses and found hope. And now, your host, Counselor Mandy.
Hi, welcome to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley. I'm so glad you're with us today. And our guest today is a dear friend, an artist, an author, a musician, John Amen. And I'm so excited to share his work with you, his story with you, as we are learning how to move through our own lost stories. This show is about discovering through other people's lives, through their experiences, how we can relate that to our own stories and what that can teach us about the lost journey and what it means to be human. In today's show, we're going to explore step 6 of the 7 steps of grief and hope, which is about service. And we're going to be looking at service and how service empowers us in our journeys, inspires us in our lost stories, as we learn about John through his story, through his work, and how John uses his artistry, how it's helped him in his losses in his life, and how he uses it in his own sense of service in the world. And before we say hello to John, I want to say I'm here with my incredible producer, Miss Cindy Bolero. Hello, Cindy.
Hello. Great to be here today.
Well, I want to give a shout out to you, Cindy. So grateful for you and the work that you're doing in helping us build Finding Hope, our new show. So, Cindy, if you'll introduce John Amen to our listening friends today.
I am happy to. John Amen is the author of 5 collections of poetry, Christening the Dancer, More of Me Disappears, At the Threshold of Alchemy, The New Arcana. Is that right, John? Arcana?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And most recently, Strange Theater. His work has appeared in journals nationally and internationally and has been translated into Spanish, French, Hungarian, Korean, and Hebrew. He's released 2 folk rock CDs, All I'll Never Need and Ridiculous Empire. And later in the show, we'll be giving you some more information about John's books and CDs and where you can find those. And he also founded and continues to edit a wonderful online magazine that I had the privilege of working with John on for a number of years called The Pedestal Magazine. So welcome, John.
Hi, thank you. Thanks, Cindy, and thanks, Mandy, for having me on the show.
Yeah, hey, John. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really am excited for our listening friends to learn about your work and just how you're just one person that comes to mind of someone who has, you know, continually taken his own personal journey and channeled it powerfully into his artistry. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really want to explore with you today. And I want to say to our listening friends, as you listen to John's story, think about your own life. Think about your own experiences, your own losses, your own triumphs, and how you can apply his wisdom and his story and examples that he gives to your own to help you learn about yourself, because that's what this show is all about. It's about us all together learning from each other and finding hope. So having said that, John, one of the opening questions that I ask our guests is to really share with us what is one of the great heartbreaks in your own life that really hugely impacted you, and we're going to be exploring together how that catapulted you into your artistry and into your service in the world.
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, it's a very, I mean, the question really gets at the heart of motivation, the heart of life mission. I guess, I mean, you know, I would say that for me, a sort of fundamental heartbreak that happened for me, you know, as grief is a process, I think heartbreak is kind of a process too. So, there are things with this that were in the moment, but I think it was also it set a process of breaking and healing that has been going on, you know, since then. Mm-hmm. Would probably be the death of my mother.
Oh yeah.
Her death and subsequent absence. And all the things that went along with that is a process. I think also probably specifically the fact that I was actually with her when she died. I was the person who was there with her. So I was 5 years old, and I was trying to manage and make sense of and navigate this spectacle of my mother's, basically her, you know, her final breaths.
Yeah.
And not knowing, obviously, I mean, not knowing that this was going to result in her being gone, but just sort of trying to make, you know, sense of it and handle it and encounter this. So I think, you know, that specific experience, as well as all the things that all the events that were set in motion as a result of that it's a real life trajectory. There's a real, you know, direction that came out of that fundamental experience.
Oh, absolutely. I want to say, John, I mean, hearing these few moments of what you've shared, we could go in so many directions. It's so rich. It has so much depth and powerful meaning around how it's impacted your life.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing, I mean, my story is very different than your story, but what it touches in me around my own story. And what I want to say is that you spoke so powerfully about the moment. There's the moment of breaking, and then there's the process of the trajectory that it sent you on, the direction and how it impacted the direction of your life, and the, you know, tens of millions secondary losses that occurred from your mom's last breath when you're there with her at 5 years old. Wow. You know, it's so difficult for a 55-year-old to process that, let alone a 5-year-old. And then the process of healing. So for our listening friends, I really want you all to hold on to those words for yourselves as you think about your own story and finding hope, and to be gentle with yourselves that there's a moment. And then there's the process of healing. And those words are so wise. Patient with ourselves in our finding hope. Be patient with ourselves in our human journey of moving through our losses. So, John, for you, the trajectory that this, you know, sent you on in your life, What comes to you in terms of throughout all of this and how it impacted you? What are some thoughts to share with our listeners around, you know, how this loss impacted you? I mean, I know there's so much to say about that. And how it then helped you dive into your discovering your artistry and your creative self.
I mean, I think first off, I was thinking about this. There's kind of trying to process the specifics of it, which, you know, a therapeutic process has been very helpful for me over the years. Not so much in the past, you know, the recent years, but for quite some time, this was a theme that would come up for me therapeutically. Visit, address, explore the impact of that specific experience. What I would say is interesting to me is that as I've continued, you know, there's the particular relationship for me with mother. And then there's also this sort of archetypal relationship. And it's the same with father, actually, by the way, too. There was a different kind of loss there, but I mean, there's a huge mystery for me around mother in particular, but also father. Hopefully answer your question. I think there's been a sense of exploring that on a personal level, with the hope of being able to, reach some sort of peace around my own experiences. In that sense, there has been some sort of, what you might say, measurable progress or something like that. Mm-hmm. But maybe on another level, there's a bottomless mystery to those things for me. And that journey is something, you know, the journey of exploring what mother is and what father is, both literally and energetically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little similar to thinking about what God is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, these are things that aren't going to be put in a box or wrapped up for me. So that they're very complex, but I think that's one of the threads, so to speak, that I find myself following. You know, if I follow this thread that I think of as mother, you know, it takes me places, and I think it has been very connected to the artistic process.
Yes, for me.
I mean, and not always literally. It's not always that the writing would be specifically about mother, but I think that thread of loss, that thread of mystery, that to me in some way is connected to that fundamental experience I shared a few minutes ago. That is, you know, sort of the labyrinth or the maze, more than the labyrinth. The maze that I'm moving through, and on that level, I feel a lot of I feel a lot of excitement about exploring the mystery of it and being with the mystery of it, and knowing that this is not a mystery that will be fully explicated ever.
Yes. Stay with us, friends. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with John Eamon Moore about his story, the unfolding of his story, and how that has empowered him in his artistry and giving back in the world. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Welcome back. Finding Hope with Counselor Mandy Epley, and I am here with John Amon. We're speaking with John today about his story, one of the significant losses and heartbreaks in his life, and how that has led him into his artistry and to service. And John was speaking about, before our break, about following the thread of mother. And that has really came out of his loss of the very sad and tragic early death of John's mom when John was 5 years old. And John, you were saying about how, you know, a specific song or poem may not be literally about mother, but how following that thread has informed your work. And I imagine that has been incredibly healing for you.
I think so. I think it has been. You know, sometimes it feels to me in a way that the heart just keeps breaking and healing keeps happening at the same time.
Thank you for that honesty.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why I love this show.
Yeah.
is to speak the full, real truth. Because, you know, there is no final healing, especially
yeah.
from these significant, you know, certain significant losses in our lives. You know, there's not a final healing that occurs. It's an ongoing unfolding.
Right.
And this reality that you're speaking is so important for our listeners because, you know, John, there are so many messages in our American culture that, you know, you can heal and it's complete.
Right.
And that myth creates a lot of pain and confusion
right.
for people. And one of the reasons why I'm so committed in Finding Hope in our show that we're really speaking about, hey, there is so much beauty and you know, you've created some powerful, incredible work through your writing, through your music, through your online magazine, which we'll be speaking about later in the show. And also, there's ongoing losses and ongoing
yep.
heartache and heartbreak just from the specificity of you not having your mother, for example.
Right. I mean, I would say that at this point in my life that there has been some healing, you know, some measurable healing. Like I do feel like I live less sort of in the shadow of that experience or in the, I don't know, some of the dysfunction that came out of that.
Sure.
There was a brokenness and a wounding that then translated into, you know, a lot of distrust of life.
Yeah.
Like a fundamental, basically what ends up happening is there's a rupture with life, and then there's this kind of adversarial relationship with life. You know, it's like living in the trenches, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would say that there has been some resolution around some of that. Like, I don't feel like I live so much in that space, a lot of the kind of, I don't know, the chaos and the, you know, just the spinning and the, just all the kind of like just disorientation and just stumbling and all that comes out of those kind of these wounds. I would say that some of that has been, I hesitate to say, you know, like fully resolved, but there's some sense sure. of having actually at this point a more pure relationship with the heartbreak. Because there's less of, I don't know, just to use a kind of popular term, there's less drama.
Yeah.
Around yeah. it. And there's less of a story around it, and there's less of a reaction to it. There's more just a kind of curiosity around what is this experience of being human. And as you were saying before, I don't look at it like we're well or we're broken, or you know, all these sort
yeah.
of dualities that are put out there. I mean the reality is, at least for me, is that there heartbreak is kind of part of life. It's a reality of life. It's a fundamental experience, and out of that comes a lot of things, including humor, including excitement, including anxiety,
yeah.
including tears.
Yeah.
But I mean, heartbreak is a very, I mean, just being born in and of itself is probably fairly traumatic.
Right.
I would guess.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And then not to mention, you know, you're I don't know, I think when you're in sort of this like a precognitive, pre-linguistic space, you don't have self and other. You're one. There's one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then suddenly you're like separate.
Yes.
Well, that's about as traumatic as it can get.
Right.
So I think there's, you know, birth, I mean, coming into this life seems to include some kind of
yes.
heartbreak, you know.
I mean, fundamentally, I mean, what you're saying
yeah.
for all of us as human beings, I mean, fundamentally, just, you know, breaking it down from the get-go. I mean,
and then I think a lot of times, I mean, what
yes.
happens is the mind comes in and tries to navigate it.
Yes.
And sometimes that can be helpful, but a lot of times it seems, you know, the mind comes up with strategies. Okay, well, you know, how do I, and so then there's all this sort of, you know, I don't know, strategies around how to avoid being hurt again or hurt,
yes.
period.
Yes. Yes, and so
you know,
this fundamental acceptance of, you know, heartbreak and healing and the heartbreaking again, and, you know,
yeah.
that there's this ongoing dance, I think that is, it's so important that we're speaking about these ideas, because that's the reality of the human journey and the human story. It, you know, it's,
right.
I hear people say so often, And certainly understandably so, when they've experienced a profound loss or even, you know, just a very sad, frustrating disappointment, you know, what comes out of our mouths often as human beings is like, well, I don't ever want to go through that again.
Yeah,
or I don't
yeah.
want to go through that kind of pain again.
Yeah.
And then when we have experienced deep pain, it's like, okay, well, I've paid in. You know, I filled the quota for my lifetime.
Right.
And then we find out that, oh my gosh, you know, if we're, you know, fortunate enough to keep living, that losses continue to happen. I mean, there, you know,
yeah.
this human story is full of incredible loss and incredible beauty, and that paradox is always existing.
Yeah.
And I want to say for our listeners, I want to highlight what you said around, you know, that now you have a purer relationship with that fundamental loss. And I really want to give some words, speak to that, that you know, when you were speaking about there's less drama around it, less dysfunction, you know, that there was as a child and as an adolescent and as a young adult man, you know, chaos in your life. And all of us can relate to that, can't we? I mean, we can all relate to that, especially when we're children. Even when we're in our adulthood and we don't have the tools, we're all doing the best that we can do. And then sometimes we, in fact, sadly turn on ourselves And then what you did is that you chose to go after, you know, the tools and get the help and the support that you needed. And that I really want to highlight, that that was not something that just occurred through time. While I think time is really important on our lost journey, there's no question about it. But time alone doesn't do a whole lot if we are not, you know, intentionally moving through our journey. And that's something that you said, that at one point in your life, therapy or, you know, there's a lot of different healing tools. Therapy is
right.
Not the only way.
Right.
But I wanted to make sure that we, you know, spoke that for our listeners, that a big part of your story is you worked on it. I mean, you've intentionally worked on it. And I think what I see in your work is that you've also used your creativity, that's been a part of your, a part of support, you know, supporting yourself as you are supporting others in your work. I see it all woven together.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think when I was younger, in particular, the artistic process was really a sanctuary. It was a place. The creative process was where I could feel or experience the freedom, the sense of autonomy, the sense of liberation that I couldn't quite get to in life. I could experience that level of literally authorship. You know, it was very much a sanctuary. I think, and I'm sure it still is to some degree. But I think, even just recently, I think I've started to experience that more in life as well. So it's not. The creative process is not the artistic process. I don't want to say creative, because I think life is creative. Everything's, the writing process, if you will, has become less of a sanctuary. But thank God that it was something, I don't know, that presented itself that I was attracted to when I was, you know, let's say starting early teens, because it was definitely, it was a sanctuary. It was, without it, I don't know what might have happened, you know?
When we come back, friends, we're going to be speaking more with John Amen about his work and about this idea of sanctuary. I'm very intrigued. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The 7 steps of grief and hope can be found at therespite.org on the Hope Is Now page. This is a video series that I had the honor and privilege of co-creating with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. This model, the model of heart-centered grief, is designed in 7 coaching sessions where you can stream or watch the DVD videos where Chris and I are coaching you through these incredibly powerful 7 steps to give you hope, and their practical ideas, creative ideas, to help you move through your grief journey in an inspired way, in a way with great dignity, and to support you through this difficult time in your life. Whatever your loss is, friend, the model of heart-centered grief is designed to empower you and encourage you on your journey.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley, and I'm speaking with John Amen today. John is an author, a writer, a musician, and a really pretty incredible human being. And we've been talking with John about his story of loss and heartbreak and the one significantly huge event in John's life when his mother died when he was 5 years old, and he was actually with his mother, and how that sent him on an, you know, as any of us can imagine, on a journey, as each of us have a journey. And so we're going to be speaking with John about more about this idea of how creativity and artistry has been a sanctuary. So John, say more about that. I'm really intrigued about that idea, and I imagine it can really inspire and support a lot of our listeners in their own lost journey around finding hope, this idea of creativity, how it is and has been a sanctuary for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I say, I mean, particularly first started to really resonate with writing probably when I was about 11 or 12. And by early, you know, around then, 13, whatever, I mean, I really consciously got that process was a sanctuary for me. I mean, it was a very difficult time. The early teens really threw, well, I don't know when it shifted, but anyway, I mean, maybe it didn't shift. I don't know.
But
you know, there was a time, you know, it was a very, the teen years were very difficult, for a lot of reasons. And I will say that now that I reflect on it, I don't think I knew it then, but when I reflect on it, I mean, there was a profound sense of disconnection, dissociation, a kind of disempowerment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in an odd way, it's a heavy term, but kind of a castration almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So I think, you know, the creative process at that time was a space where I could feel empowered. I mean, it was very enlivening. It connected me to life energy.
Mm.
The creative process reconnected me to myself and to life, to go with the, you know, the castration thing. I mean, basically, it gave me my balls back.
Mm, yeah, my friend, I
you
hear
know?
That.
Right.
Yes,
right.
It helped you. Yeah, I love that. I mean, that is so real. It's about helping you reconnect with that life force.
So that was, I mean, was essential. And I think that to some degree or another, that was very much my story. I don't know, until maybe starting 10, 15, well, more like 15 years ago, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, you know, I was, I started writing in, I don't know, the late 70s. I was 14 in 1980. So, you know, until about, you know, 2000 or so, I would say that writing, and then I got also into music and painting, but basically the artistic process was where I felt empowered, connected, alive. And then I think a process began where, you know, I mean, over time I can see where that, I don't have to so much have a sanctuary or, you know, like that sense has come to where it's a little bit more across the board in life. I mean, there's still a specific relationship with the artistic process that in itself is, I mean, that's where a lot of things are synthesized for me, and kind of, it's almost like alchemy. And so that's my particular calling, is in that direction. But my relationship with that is different now than it was so many years ago. You know, at that point it was a lifeline.
Yeah.
I do still feel like there is a particular kind of engagement that happens in the creative process that I don't experience in other things. However, I am aware of being creatively empowered in my life as well as in the creative process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that the work that intentionally, you know, done in your own, on your own journey I really hear that it's allowed you to find sanctuary in other areas in your life. You know, as you were saying,
right.
like to be creatively empowered in your life. And at one time in your life, that was, you know, that was the place that allowed you to connect with the life, the force in life, and to feel alive and to connect with your own inner being. And as you were saying before the break, I mean, thank God that,
right.
you know, because so often what happens, you know, for young people, for children, for adults, when they experience a significant and tragic loss, we are disconnected from ourselves, from all that we've ever known, and important others around us have no clue how to support us. And why I, again, am so passionate about this show and about the 7 steps of grief and hope that I have co-authored with our good friend and colleague Chris Saadi is that, you know, there are tools and you've sought after them and there are ways for us to re-engage with our own inner being and to use the fuel from our losses to
right.
create in the world. And that's and why I so wanted to interview you is I see you as someone who has, you know, intentionally worked on his own journey, if you will, and has, you know, used the gems that you've mined from your losses and created from them.
Mm.
And that right there, important message for all of us,
mm-hmm.
that right there can give all of us hope. Is to, you know, it's really trusting that when these painful events happen to us, that life does not just cut us and leave us bleeding on the floor, that
mm-hmm.
there is a process. It certainly may feel like it at the time. I certainly know from some of the losses I've experienced that certainly felt that way in the moment, but that, you know, holding on and holding out and staying in life and staying in the process, you know, that through time that alchemy can occur. And that's, you know, which is ironic that one of the books of your poetry is At the Threshold of Alchemy.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's what I see that you do, that you have done and that you are doing around, you know, how you're using the story of your life, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I know. I mean, particularly as I get older, I mean, making sense of things is sort of less important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Staying engaged and following these sort of clues, you know, I don't know. I really get that there is that the whole notion of questing,
yeah,
is interesting to me. You know, I was saying the other day that I feel more engaged than ever before and more intentional than ever before, and yet I have no clue where any of this is going.
Yeah.
If it's going anywhere, I actually don't. I'm actually not sure that it really is, quote, going anywhere in terms of how we think of things, you know, in terms of goals and that sort of kind of thing. And around the idea of sanctuary, it's interesting to have times now where I don't even need sanctuary. You know, I don't have to have
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm.
I mean, I might feel that I do sometimes, but it's interesting even to, I mean, sometimes there is, like, it's just, like, you know, you need to create some sort of protection. But it's interesting to encounter what I call the overwhelm, you
yes.
know? Just life is happening, and then suddenly you're like, oh, my God. I mean, it just feels like you're about to explode.
Yeah.
And just to sort of, like, if you can, I mean, sometimes it's hard because it's so you know, it's like a riptide or something. But sometimes I can just be with that and see, I can have these moments where I really see how that overwhelm ties into these earlier experiences, and how if I can just sort of be with it and not react so much, it just kind of dissolves. It's really a fascinating experience. You know?
We will speak about, I do know, I want to speak with you more about that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be speaking with John about using his story for fuel and about how this relates to service in the world. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hey there, friends. Thanks for staying with us. It's Finding Hope, and I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley, and we are speaking with John Amen about this incredible idea of using our stories for fuel. And we're going to be speaking with John in this segment about really, John, how you see your creativity and using your story and your losses in your creativity, and how you see that as, you know, your giving back, your service in the world. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, my immediate thoughts are that I could probably do more of that. I do feel, particularly with the Pedestal magazine, that there is an element of creating a space for other voices. I mean, I'm very conscious with that magazine of wanting to create a place where multiple voices are expressed, and that a reader can encounter.
Yes.
You know, just so many different kind of expressions of life. I think there is some element of that with my own writing. I mean, if I'm honest, I write because I love to write.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do hope that, it is gratifying when people express that such and such a poem or, you know, a reading or whatever it might have been, that it impacted them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's gratifying.
I do think,
and this is where I think I could do more of this, is I think working with younger people is something I've done quite a bit, although not in a kind of sustained, consistent way. I've done a lot of what I would say one-time workshops with younger people, or we did an issue in Pedestal, actually, where we featured younger people. Unfortunately, you can only publish so much. You know, all this work comes in, and then you have to narrow it down. So in some ways, people are, you know, more people in a way probably are disappointed than happy because we couldn't include, But anyway, I mean, I think working with young people has been that's an area where I totally feel what I think you're getting at. There's this sense of like art in a way saved my life.
Yeah.
And here are some people in their teens or 20s maybe who seem to have a kind of similar experience, you know, writing is a lifeline for them. I mean, I've encountered these these young people who you know, just to have that artistic connection is to some extent the main thing in their lives. And so working, doing that kind of work, I think, is really gratifying on the level you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to do it on a little bit more. I mean, that's one of the things that I want to, that I'm sort of in exploration around, is how do I bring more of that. I also did a couple things at homeless shelters and prisons, and that's pretty powerful too. I mean, it's really in a way it boils down to helping people discover their own voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever processes can be put in motion to where people can start to claim their voices. First, I guess, artistically, because I mean, that was the case for me. I had an artistic
mm-hmm.
voice long before I had, I don't know, a voice as, you know, a human being.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So that kind of work, I think, is really powerful, and I do think it's important, and I do think it can have a profound impact individually and socially.
Well, I want to say I always appreciate you know, when artists have humility, and you certainly bring a ton of humility, because I think, you know, what I see in your work and through your online magazine, I mean, I think that you have truly, I think you have brought an incredible amount. I mean, I don't know how that's even measured. There's probably a better way to say it than the way I'm saying it, but an amazing amount of service to the world through your work. I mean, you know, friends, thepedestalmagazine.com, you know, John's been going after this passion now, I mean, since early 2000s, and 76 issues online, and has given a space for many, many, many writers. And John, I want to say that, you know, this passion around what you said is that, you know, art in some respects saved your life. And
yeah.
that, you know, the work that you've done with young people around giving them a space to express their artistic voice, and that you want to bring more of that into the world. And I want you all to know that you can find John at johnamon.com, again, thepedestalmagazine.com. At johnamon.com, you can order John's books, you can order his music, and you also can see his original artwork as well, and order his artwork, which is pretty incredible, expressive, beautiful, very inspiring. And what I want to bring together for us as we move towards closing our time together is that for the step six of service is that the message of Finding Hope around this theme is that each of us have a place to use our passions to give back to the world. And that I say again and again that there's not any therapeutic tool or enlightened mumbo jumbo that is going to help you and inspire you and encourage you like giving back, like this idea of service. And the reason why service is one of the steps of the seven steps of grief and hope, and we highlight it so much in Finding Hope, is that it helps us find deep meaning in our stories and in our journeys. And the one thing that does bind us together, regardless of socioeconomic status, where we live on the globe, you know, our sexual orientation, you know, the kind of dogs we like, or the food we eat, or the amount of money we have or we don't have, the color of our skin, our ethnicity, is that we are all, as human beings, hungry for meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that we find meaning in our losses is through giving back. And I really want to say thank you, friend, for how you have intentionally gone after providing a space for artistic voices through the Pedestal magazine. That's really good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a, I mean, there, you know, it does require a commitment. I mean, I will say that. And it, you know, it's been quite a process. But yeah, I know. I mean, I think it is, I think it is a contribution. I mean, there've been a couple of times where it felt like maybe it had run its course, and, you know, and after talking with a few people and just thinking about it, I was able to sort of reconnect with it in a more essential way, and sort of, you know, get out of the laborious elements and back into the, you know, the sort of the pure energy of it, you know,
and
staying engaged with the life affirming process of it. So yeah, I think and I mean that, you know, that's, I think, true for my own artistic processes too, is just really staying engaged with it, seeing where it where it leads, you know, and what happens, and be trying to be flexible.
John, I want to thank you. I'm sorry about that, friend. I want to thank you for your time with us today, and just really enjoyed so much this opportunity for our listeners to learn about you and your work. And thank you for sharing with so much depth and big-hearted openness. And again, really appreciate your contribution in the world, my friend.
Well,
yeah.
thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, thank you for everything you're doing. Yeah, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, stay with us, friends. We want you to come back next week. Hope you all have an incredible week. Take good care in finding hope.
Counselor Mandy would like to offer you a free gift. As you've heard on her show, Finding Hope, she and Chris Saadi co-created the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. She would like for you to have a free recording that includes an introduction to the 7 Steps and takes a deep dive into Step 4, Paradox. In this recording, Chris and Mandy talk about how important it is to honor the grief journey. After listening to this recording, you will understand the importance of viewing your grief paradoxically, feel supported that you're not alone, and be inspired about how your grief can help others. To download this free recording, visit therespite.org. Just scroll down on the homepage to where it says, "Hear about the transformational 7 Steps of Grief and Hope," and click the Get Access button. It's that easy. Mandy's passion in life is helping people see that the losses in their life have meaning. We hope you'll accept this free gift from her. Again, visit therespite.org to get your free recording.
Look up.